Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. In the section, The Paradise of the Lord. Chapter 55. The Waiting Creation. Scriptures. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Revelation 22, verses 1 to 7. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for thou hast striven with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For, said he, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And the sun rose upon him as he passed over Peniel, and he limped upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew of the hip, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip. Genesis chapter 32, verses 26 to 32. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 to 16. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was division among the people because of him. John 7, verses 37 to 43. End scripture. Two visions. Note, these two visions are entirely prophetic, for they have not yet taken place, even though they do come across in our understanding as precious promises. We are yet to also take them as a warning of remaining faithful unto the Lord till he comes. First vision. Then I saw the army of the Lord marching. I noted that the destructive winds and the force of wind that came in the form of billowing waves of fire consumed all that man had built and all that man had held precious in the earth. However, it was not just in the earth that this billowing destructive wind of the fire of the Lord from his army touched. For the fire ascended also, even to the heights of the cosmos itself, to the very pinnacle of man's pride and the pride of nations, so that the entire cosmos was ignited with the flame of their forward march. Please see Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. For man had built to himself once again a name and a place and a position in which to protect his own life from that which is death to them. Man had built again their personal tower in which to establish their name. So then, the fires of the Lord, billowing forth in these fearsome winds, consumed all that was not of the Spirit of the Lord, nor of his established kingdom. Not just upon this natural creation did this fire billow forth, but in all areas where man had exalted his pride and had protected his name amongst earthly nations. At the same time, however, as the army marched forward in bodies of light and glory, I could see that the earth was parched under the fire of this flame. But under the individual footsteps of each member of the army of the Lord came gushing forth abundant waves of living waters, wave upon wave upon wave of water, that were the living waters of the Lord without in a ceaseless flow. These waters gushed forth, first boiling with the heat from beneath the footfalls of the army, but then immediately forming cooling streams and flowing forth in a deepening flow out into this parched creation. Not one area of this creation that had thus endured the fire was also now without the washing and regeneration of these living waters. So abundant was this flow, unceasing, bringing the life of the Lord into this judged earth, and so the earth once again sprung forth in a newness of life, nurtured and fed by these unstoppable streams of living waters. and first vision. Second vision. I saw then individual members of the Lord's body in the earth, each one in bodies made like unto the body of Jesus, which was raised from the tomb. As each one walked forward upon the earth in these new bodies, out of their very bellies, from the center core of their being, flowed forth a flowing of the river of life, abundant and pure and holy, unto each person who was yet remaining upon the earth, so that each person had flowing unto them these abundant living waters. When I saw the individual members of this glorified group, who now manifested fully their sonship, I saw that their central core was a spring of water, a fluid pureness that flowed the holiness of God and the life of God with no duality or taint or sin or any such thing to mark the waters as impure and to dirty them with anything that was of the former way, for the former things were passed away. All things became new as these waters flowed as springs from the deep within the bodies of these who were pure. End vision. End two visions. Let no man judge you for your wrestlings, for any true son or daughter of God is still in the throes of wrestling and warring. They have not yet entered into the place of perfect stillness and quietness and rest, full rest from their labors and their faith in the things of the Lord. There are those in this day round about you that judge you for the wrestling they see you do with your own personal angel. The wrestling you are in as one who would overcome is offensive to others because they cannot understand it. The reason they do not understand it is because they see you as having abandoned everything that is in the world of Christendom in favor of coming aside unto the Lord alone, to hear his voice speaking, to know his will alone. There you have a cross. We are told in Scripture that there remains a rest to the people of God. However, I would like to point out to you, the reader, that for me personally, in my entire lifetime up till now, I have never met one single person who is fully in this rest. I have met many who have faith that God will carry them through their lives, but I have not yet met anyone who is in this rest that Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 to 16 speaks of. I see that faith and rest are synonymous, but different, according to the times we are in. If you look with an open heart at these verses from Hebrews, you will note that from verses 4 to 10, this rest is shown as being sound, scriptural, and a response to the finished work of the Lord. But then from verse 11 to verse 16, you will see the struggle that is ours to enter in and remain in that very rest. In our day, this entire thought of the rest of God, the Sabbath that he created, has become part of the crux of deception that this hour is creating. It is this rest that the overcomer will first come into, the part that remaineth, but it is not yet here, at least in a very practical sense of the word rest. The facts that remain are just as indisputable, that rest is still a future event, a work that will be and will be seen by others. This rest is an experience that none have known before in this world. This rest that is done purely by the finished work of Christ and by his resurrection. We have faith, and we know that this salvation is true. Yet we still being brought towards the fullness of this redemption, even the receiving of our glorified bodies. That, dear reader, is the true rest. For one cannot fully rest while the mystery of iniquity is still present in their own life, in their flesh, or in the world around them. Every single deception in our day is based on the premise that they have entered rest, because they have entered a realm of perfection or completion, or that what they deem a true doctrine has in fact been a doctrine born, B-O-R-N-E, born out of time. There is a tremendous lack of peace, but an abundance of man's labors. In both cases, this rest is not present. The true rest of the Lord is what we are coming to, not already in. The true rest of the Lord is what we are coming to, not already in. It is a future event, not yet a present reality. We are walking towards it. It is in front of us, and it will be. But in the meantime, we are being prepared to be these vessels of rest that the world will find peace in finally when the time is right for it. There is an illusion happening in society at this time, and that is one of great prosperity. This prosperity is part of the lukewarmness of our day, which will in time cause the downfall of this society. The illusion of work and prosperity is being done on a false front, a false rest, and by carnal methods. It is not being done by the Lord or his kingdom. This rest is being done in such a manner as to give men the illusion that they can endure the time that is coming on the earth, because money is the main thing. Keeping treasures is what is being taught as important, and a life that is prospered by wealth is accepted as the norm. I am prophesying to you that all at once this entire false illusion will completely collapse. All of the judgments of the Lord, which would blow with fiery winds upon man's carnal illusions, are going to happen all at the same time. These winds of the judgment of the Lord are poised and ready, and we will see them come in the form of economic, political, religious, and natural creation collapsing. If you are a person in debt, owing money, or a person of wealth, having much, in both cases, you will suffer complete loss. If you are a person taken up with a political cause, or an effort to change agendas in the political scene, your work will be completely vain. If you are a person who equates this modern world and your life in it to the favor of the Lord because you are lukewarm and safe and nothing can touch you, you will be found naked. And if you think that the world with all its problems relating to global warming and so on is worrisome, wait until all the earthquakes and judgments of that nature come all at the same time. For there is a time right before us where the Lord is going to move in all these areas at once. It is prior to the manifestation of the sons of God and it is in preparation for the manifestation of the sons of God. The Lord is going to shake everything together until He is all in all. There is nothing that will survive this in your present world. Your wealth, your poverty, your health, your illness, all of this will come under the shaking of the Lord when He arises to judge the earth and to punish the world for its iniquity. Now, do not get me wrong. We know that Jesus atoned for the iniquity in each man. But in the doctrine I have received from the Lord, we need to walk this out. That this is a salvation freely given to us by grace in the Lord. But we need to learn to obey it. What is it we are walking out? And what is it that the Lord will require each and every soul to walk out? The fact that duality exists, and we need to rein in the raging areas of carnality which resist the truths of His Word. That through judgment, we place under total captivity this nature in us which is destined to be removed completely. But nowhere, people get upset with me because I tell them we have yet a duality. They think they do not, that they are only the new creation because they are saved and they have been born again. But nowhere are we instructed to ever think that we are without flesh while we abide in these bodies of death and corruption. It is just that simple. Yes, you have a new nature, born without iniquity, which works in pure holiness, but you also still bear about this carnality, which has now brought the entire world into the state of illusion. For they that are overcoming, there is a very real thing happening to them at this time. This thing I share is not to be confused with the ordinance of church order laid out by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. So Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The thing I see in the lives of the overcomers at this time is that they are being tossed to and fro. There is in them a continual tug of war, a raging back and forth from that which is true and right and holy and of the new creation without sin or guile to that which is desperately carnal, unrighteous, unholy, and profane in themselves. This carnality I speak of is still real. Each and every day there is a tossing in their lives of that which is of the Lord versus that which is not of the Lord. This is a present reality, and it causes the gravity of the earth to be that much more stronger, holding the overcomer to this dust. That's the gravity of the earth, holding the overcomer to this dust, to this present world, to their life of futility in it. The overcomer is not sitting high in a cloud, out of sight. Yes, they are seated in heavenly places in Christ, but they are also being pulled in another direction. This carnality is still raging against their faith. They are still being pursued by wrong ambitions. This is the carnality I speak of, which wars against the true desire for purity in the lives of they that overcome. And this is all of the Lord. For the Lord has ordained that this warring faction in us be for now. Because through it all, every area of your life that is contrary to His holiness is being exposed for what it is. The dross is surfacing. The carnality is being openly exposed. And you, with the eye of the Spirit, are seeing this for what it is. All of it is being opened up right now in the lives of the Lord's true church, even those who form part of the body of the Lord, the two witness company, who will witness of their life in the Lord in the earth to every nation that is present in this hour. The reason this is being opened up right now in the lives of the overcomers is so that they can overcome it. Should I read that again? It's very simple. The reason this is being opened up right now in the lives of the overcomers is so that they can overcome it. So that they can get through their personal Gethsemane, cross-bearing, cross-impaling, cross-death experience. When that death finally happens, and the process of the cross is over, death will then be no more. For death in the life of the overcomer will die. For death in the life of the overcomer will die. In this present lukewarm world, this is the first thing and the first sign of the judgment of the Lord. It is happening now to they who will rule and reign with the Lord when He comes. If you think you do not have to go through this, then you won't, for you will be left to have it dealt with later in the fires of His judgment. Get this in your spirit. The Lord is first coming to judge this earth, starting with the true overcomer. Then shall we see His kingdom. I am telling each reader of this paper today, you will conquer this duality. Do you want to hear that again? I am telling each reader of this paper today, you will conquer this duality. It is your destiny in the Lord. Do not deny that it is there. It is there. It is real. And you will need to bring it to a successful conclusion as you submit your life unto the Lord day by day. If you are in debt, get out of debt. If you are wealthy, trust it not. If you are motivated by men ruling in the parliaments of nations, forget it. The governments of men will have no answer for what is about to take place. The Lord is about to spew forth this lukewarm world out of His mouth. Nothing will be acceptable unto Him at all, so why be part of it? Those who hold to God's favor by religious effort will partake in the flames of judgment just as much as the ungodly nations. Those who trust that the world will not move beneath their feet will be sadly disappointed. Be an overcomer. Be an overcomer. Abandon all you are into His capable, nail-scarred hands, and He will see you through this time that is about to begin. Do that, and don't stop doing that until He appears. Then you will also appear with Him. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.